morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer. I'm a garden author. I'm a horticulturist. I love to watch plants grow. I love to help people with their gardens. This is the show that you can call in your gardening questions to. So I just want to wish everyone a good morning. And I want to say good morning to our amazing, can't do without, producer Lizzie Steele. Good morning, Lizzie.
I appreciate that a lot. That's funny. I appreciate that. So,
yeah. Well, we couldn't do it without you. We couldn't do without you.
I'm sure you could find some type of, animal to come back here and just press a button. It'd be all right.
No. But did you feel the temperatures driving in this morning?
Did you feel the temperatures all week? Okay, yes, granted. Actually, almost 2 weeks, at least a week and a half.
Yes.
I've been kind of off with our the Good Morning Orlando. It's been on hiatus for about 9 days.
Well, but Simon's enjoying the good life.
I know, right? He's out there in Rome. But, definitely. And I got so much stuff done out in the garden and the turkey run area. I don't even look back at how bad the summer is. So,
yes,
so those
we're get, over it.
Yeah, so if you haven't signed up for Teresa's newsletter, sign up and then ignore my article because I was complaining about the summer and me just throwing my hands up. So
there you go. Exactly. You know, and I think that's kind of like a ritual every year that September. Okay, August. That's it. I'm done. And, you know, and then we do it the next year. So we're kind of, but that's the good thing about gardening is that you can make mistakes over and over again and still be able to grow, you know, so you can still put in your tomatoes and peppers and get a little bit. So I hope you're not giving your hands up for good.
No, not at all. And it's hard to kind of, so I supply a lot of the iHeart fourth floor that we're on with the produce to an extent. I mean, actually, believe it or not, and it's mostly herbs. And so, and it's funny, and turkey eggs too.
Oh, I'm sure they love that.
Yes. Well, because of the heat. Everything went on hiatus, kind of. I guess you would say that. So I love that word today, hiatus, obviously. Nothing grows during the summer. And then nothing really grows during the summer that I like to give away. And then in the winter. So everybody's kind of looking at me when I go to get on the elevator, like, hey, Lizzie, what's up? And I'm just like, oh, are you wanting herbs right now? You might want to go to Publix. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, it is. It's a great month to get in there and just start to do a little bit and get ready for the fall. So I'll be talking about that today. The weather, again, is just beautiful right now. It's a great week to work out in the garden. North Florida, you're not going to have any rain this week, which is kind of good. We've, you know, had a little bit of too much rain. But the temperatures are going to be in the high 80s and maybe get to 1 or 2 days with 90 degrees. But the lows are going to be in the 60s. Fall is definitely here. I will tell you, have you seen the maple trees? They have all changed color. They're bright red along the highways. Sycamores are starting to turn yellow.
Yes, my sycamore trees are dropping their leaves.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, I love this.
Yes, the fall is starting. And so then in Central Florida, it's going to be in the high 80s. But we do have a chance of rain, 30 to 50% chance of rain every day. So that doesn't mean that you're going to get rain. It just means there's a chance of it. But that's okay, because if you get 1 inch of rain a week, no need to turn our irrigation systems on. And so it's a good way to save money. Tampa, high 80s and low 90s. And no rain this weekend, but a 30 to 50% chance of rain next weekend. South Florida, high 80s. And guess what? You've got all the rain this week in Florida. Thunderstorms every day, about 50 to 70% chance every day. And that's kind of good because we need to refill that Everglades. And so it's not going to be hot as last week, but you still have to be careful. Hurricane-wise, we've been kind of really, knock on wood, that we have had only 6 named storms so far, and they haven't come close to Florida. And the next one could develop, which is probably going to develop, they say, But it's going to go northeast, so no hurricanes for about 3 to 4 weeks.
You know, my thing is I really, I will, I mean, I really wouldn't be sad to not have a hurricane this year.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I put in all this work. I've cleaned our trees out that had the trees that have been twisted from last year's hurricane. I finally got to that this last week, because the weather was perfect outside. But I'll be honest with you, I really would not be sad with no...
Nope, me either. Not this year. We do want to say that Peterson's Nursery is going to be having their fall vegetable gardening discussion today, their little class today.
Yes.
That's going to be at 10 a.m. And it's a BYOC, which means what, Lizzie?
Bring your own chair.
That's
Bring
it. Your it is, own yeah.
chair. It's actually 9:30.
Is it? I'm sorry, 9:30.
No worries.
And 9:30. Yep. Yeah, don't be late. 9:30. Get there at 9 so you can get some plants ahead of time.
Yes.
And yes. Then also Quality Green Specialist Nursery. They are just a wonderful resource for plants over in DeLand off of Michigan, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But just a lot of great things happening. This is the time of the year to be buying trees, to be buying plants, buying shrubs, and putting them in the ground. This is a wonderful time because we have the rainfall still. Mm-hmm. The temperatures are getting a little cooler, and yet we're still growing. So one of the things, if you're going to be seeding for bahia grass, get it now, because after this month, no seeding of bahia, so it's not going to be warm enough. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. And the phone number to call if you have a gardening question, we'll go ahead and take it. You can even tell us what morning beverage you're having. I am having my cup of tea. And Lizzie, what are you drinking?
Okay, well, I'm still currently on my 6 shots of espresso. However, if anybody follows me on Instagram, which is Lizzie with an I and an E, Lizzie said what? Oh, my. See, this is when I know Jesus loves me, because by the second week of September, Publix puts out their eggnog ice cream.
Oh.
So then in another 2 weeks, they should have eggnog in their stores. And so.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. So right now, 6 shots of espresso. In a couple weeks, it will be eggnog every morning.
Well, I have a cup of tea, which is a British cup of tea, Scottish cup of tea, which is with milk and sugar. Mm. And my stepdaughter, but Tony's daughter, Genevieve, is in London in France this week. And she had afternoon high tea in Harrods department store, which is very high end, very
shut up.
And we got a text message. Mm-hmm. I got a text message for you. She goes, I have to apologize to you. And then she goes, I am apologizing because tea with milk and sugar is absolutely the most delightful thing I've ever had. And every time you come over for dinner, we're going to have a cup of tea now, every time. And I went, oh.
That makes me, oh, I love that for you.
Because she's a really big coffee drinker. Mm-hmm. And she had wonderful afternoon tea. Well, so tea is wonderful.
And it's crazy. You know, like you don't think milk and tea and that would go together. But that, okay, here's another one that's going to kind of, I know we are not a coffee and drinking show, but anyway. But I use honey for my coffee because I have a mild allergy to refined sugars and sweeteners. So I've used honey instead. And people are like, ew, aren't you supposed to put honey in your tea? And I'm just like, yeah, but it's also
it's
good in coffee.
It is, yes.
So anyway.
Wonderful.
I digress. So yes, text us and let us know what you are drinking this morning.
Exactly. And 1-888-455-2967 if you have a gardening question. Lots of things going on in the landscape this week. I will tell you, I've just seen a lot, and we're going to be talking a little bit about it. Have you ever heard of lawn shrimp, Lizzie?
I don't. No, I have no.
We're going to be talking about that, and then also a lot of, you know, we had Roy Levin with EPLS Services in Orlando, and he was talking about the chinch bug issue. And this week, all I saw was chinch bugs.
Of course.
And so it's just something that's just we're just going to have to deal with. And then also, too, it's the time of the year, ants. And I went to two homes this week, one for an installation, and the ants were everywhere outside.
You know, is it because we've had quite a bit of rain?
They're pushing them up out of the ground. It's pushing up. It's just too damp down below, and so they are coming out. But it's just a lot of issues. But it's the kind of the end of the summertime. We're seeing all this stress in the landscape, insects and disease issues from excessive rain or overwatering. And this is where, you know, everything in gardening, landscaping, has to do with water. Whether it is not enough or too much, whether you're putting chemicals down, which are safe, but your plants need to be hydrated. So, you know, all the issues you see basically come down to water. And weeds in the lawn, the weeds have been taking off like crazy. I just need to hire someone just to do the weeds in my yard.
And it's funny that you say that because, I mean, I know how to run equipment, so that's not a problem. But I finally got a hold of Shrek's Weed Eater, and he's just like, he inadvertently taught me how to burn weeds out with a weed eater. Let me tell you about the burnouts I have done.
You see the scars of it afterwards?
But you know what? I don't mind. I'd rather see scars than see the weeds.
Yeah. And so especially with the weeds right now, they are going to flower. And when the weeds, after they've been growing in the summertime, they go to flower, then that's when you get the seeds. And if you don't catch them, then they're going to come back next year. They're going to die out for the winter, mm-hmm. for the winter time.
Yes.
But then in the spring and summer, these seeds are going to rejuvenate. They're going to germinate, I mean, and start the cycle all over again. So never, never, never let your weeds go to seed. And so if you see them flowering, that's the time to really cut them back or make sure you pull them. So
yeah, pull
you don't
them
have
by
to
the
pull.
Root.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, exactly. Don't have to pull them every week, but pull them before they go to seed. So vegetables right now, this is a very popular time. Fall in Florida is the best time to be growing vegetables. And we still have a little bit where we can grow lima beans. It's still warm enough. Sweet or snap beans, corn and cucumber, eggplants and peppers, southern peas, rhubarb, squash, and tomato. But you also want to make sure that you're getting your winter seeds ready. Because at the end of the month, you can start planting arugula, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage and celery, collards and endive, lettuce and mustard, onions and radishes, and strawberries. North Florida, you guys up there in Tallahassee, Pensacola, Jacksonville, Gainesville, you guys can be planting your strawberry seeds right now. And so strawberries are really great to be growing. Central Florida, you've got another few weeks. I would do them mid-October. And then South Florida, you can plant them at the end of October.
Thank you for explaining that. Because, I mean, by the time you see the strawberries out, it already seems to be too late.
Yes.
So
starting the seeds now. And then turnips. Turnips are really good to eat. They're a great stew vegetable. Fall stews. I love them. So let's go to Ralph in Titusville. Good morning, Ralph. How can I help you?
Well, you can answer some questions about my lawn for me.
Okay.
I'm living in the house where I grew up. I moved back in 2011 to take care of my mother when she was sick. She's gone now, and I've simply allowed the lawn to deteriorate over the years. There's some grass out there, but there's just as many weeds and vines and stuff like that as there is grass. I don't know that you could actually call it a lawn.
Right. It's green, though, right?
Yeah, for the most part. I had to have a huge laurel oak tree removed from the front yard recently. And so the front yard is also just a lot of bare dirt and stuff right now, just from the removal of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
But truly, all I want is for it to be green.
Okay.
I'm wondering, is there any kind of like native Florida grass that I could just toss out there? The last thing in the world I want to do is put a bunch of chemicals down the lawn and kill any more manatees out in the Indian River than
we already have. I don't necessarily think you'll do that, but I want you to just, it's just going to be very expensive to put down a lot of chemicals when most of your lawn is weeds to begin with. So it's a little bit cheaper just to go ahead and resod or replug. But you can put down Bahia seed right now. Okay, and Bahia seed, you've got just a little bit of a time frame because it needs at least 90 days of warm temperatures. So we're going to go, you know, mid-September, October, November. December, it's not going to be growing. So if you can start your Bahia seeds now, go ahead and put out an application of Bahia seed and get it to germinate and get growing. Then you'll get a lawn. That way that's going to be easier. But I don't... you want to get Argentina Bahia, not Pensacola. Okay, Argentina Bahia seed. That's, you know how you've been in Florida a long time. You know the Bahia grass that gets the Y seeds and, you know, just the whole yard. You can mow it and then 3 days later it's got all the seeds coming back up again. That's Pensacola. Yeah. Argentina has fewer of those Y seeds, so that's why I recommend that. And so just you can get that seed now. Put it out now. This week is going to be a good week to do it. And you'll have Bahia grass. And that's kind of basically the old Florida grass.
Okay. Great.
But then in the springtime, you'll want to do a weed killer, an herbicide down there. Unless you just don't mind the green weeds, and then you can just mow it. Just keep it mowed. Keep the weeds from going to seed even further and multiplying. And you'll be okay. Sorry about your mama.
Thank you, ma'am. She was a good mom. Good life.
That's great.
Thank you for your advice, and thank you for a really good show.
Thank you, Ralph, for calling in. We appreciate it. Let us know how you do. Okay, let's go to Pinky in Port Orange. Good morning, Pinky. How are you?
So thank you. I told Lizzie I have a million questions, but I won't inundate you, so I'll ask one.
No, you're
good. I love
good.
Growing zinnias, and I just throw the seeds out, and they come back, summer, spring, fall. But the leaves are always loaded with, I guess it's canker or some type of a rust. And I try to stay organic, but I've been reading about copper fungicide, and I don't want to kill my bees because I have zillions of bees.
Uh-huh.
In fact, how do I control this canker? If that's what it is.
Okay, so you applied what seeds? I didn't hear it at the beginning. I'm sorry.
They're zinnias.
Oh, zinnias. Okay, and they get canker on. Okay, so one, do you have an irrigation system?
I do not.
You do not. No. Okay, so it's basically coming from the rain. Okay, and we really can't control when we get the rain, or how often and what time of the day we get it. So we start to see the zinnias getting it. Right, you know, when we're getting the showers and the humidity. So it's something that's going to happen. Now, you can put a fungicide down, and I will tell you the copper is not going to affect the bees, okay? It's not going to be an issue. But if you can, so are the zinnias in full sun?
The majority of them, yes,
okay.
Pretty much.
And how soon after they start blooming do you see the canker?
They start to get about maybe 6-7 inches tall, and I start seeing it on the lower leaves.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then it spreads all the way up.
I know.
And I've been trying to cut the leaves off and throw them away, but I have so many.
You know, no.
They're such a beautiful.
I would just say enjoy the zinnias while you have them, and just you can keep reseeding each week. And putting out more seeds so that you have zinnias all the way through, you know, wintertime. And okay. I just wouldn't stress about it, Pinky. It's just something that happens, and it's not going to kill it. It's, you know, Mother Nature. We can't do anything, but I just wouldn't stress about it. You're not going to hurt the bees, but you don't even need to put a fungicide down. Enjoy them for the 3 to 4 weeks you have them, and then plant more. All right. Thank you so much, Pinky. That's a great question. We're going to be right back with more Better Lawns and Gardens. And you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me, 2360. And we'll get to your questions if it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And good morning to Mike, who texted me about French toast. And yes, we use eggnog. Lizzie, do you use eggnog with French toast?
Yes. Yeah. Whenever it's out, that's when we do our French toast. It's and yes, it's actually very easy because it's got all the components that you need for making French toast. But I like to add a little splash of vanilla extract to mine.
Vanilla extract and cinnamon. Lots of cinnamon.
Yes.
So this is great. So we have Jerry from Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry. How can I help you?
Well, good morning, Teresa. I got a question. I got bahia grass, and there's all of a sudden there's stand spurs in it. It must be due to that horse farm they're revamping down the Talent Road there.
Might be. Yep.
How do you clean that up or get rid of those?
Well, so one, I would always mow with a bagger. Put a bag on your lawnmower so that you're not putting the seeds back into the lawn that are coming off of the sand spurs. That's one.
Okay.
And two, I would literally hand pull them out. So I would look for them before you mow your lawn and see if you can pull out the whole plant itself, the whole weed itself. But bag your clippings and then just use a weed preventative herbicide. You can use it in October. Yeah, an herbicide. For bahia lawns.
For bahia lawns. Is there a certain ingredient that I'm supposed to look for?
2,4-D dicamba. So it's got to have
2,4-D.
Yeah, 2,4-D.
Okay.
And then just make sure you're bagging your clippings so that no more seeds get in.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Yeah. And that's in October?
That's in October. Okay. You can put that herbicide down, yes. Not right now. It's too hot right now.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jerry. Bye-bye. I love Jerry calling in.
Yes.
He's so sweet. So, Lizzie, how tall do you think the Guinness World Book of Records for sunflowers, how tall do you think that plant is, sunflower, in the Guinness World Book of Records?
The tallest one that I have grown was probably about all between 8 and 10 foot,
uh-huh.
Maybe, but at least about probably 8.5 feet. Why?
Well, the Guinness World Book of Records, the last time they had one that made the records was 30 feet 1 inches tall. But this week, okay, a monster sunflower has been growing in the backyard of an Indiana family. They are Ukrainian immigrants, first generation, and it is the world's tallest sunflower, and it is 35 feet 9 inches.
Oh,
35
my cheese
feet, 9
crackers.
Inches.
Wow.
So it beat it by four feet for the record. So it is now the new world's record. And they do have it propped up, supporting it, because it would get blown over in the wind. But they have been babying it this year. And when the flower was younger, about 10 feet tall, their son started picking a few hundred four-leaf clovers and put them on the leaf of the sunflower for good luck. So that's why you need to get you need to put four-leaf clovers on your sunflower to get it to be 35 feet tall.
That is crazy.
Isn't
but
it?
What's sad, though, is from my experience is that after it gets done and it gets to at that point, it's just going to end up dying, and then that's it. They don't reproduce on that stock anymore.
No, annuals. They're considered annuals. But what great bird food. Now, I would have liked to have seen, and I'm going to research it when I get home, how big the seed heads were. How big was the flower
for
35 feet? Was it a foot across? Was it 6 inches across? But
it's got to be bigger than that.
It's got to be bigger than a foot. That's what I was thinking.
That is wild.
Yeah,
I love sunflowers.
You could still be planting sunflowers if you want. Right now, if you want to plant sunflower seeds, they will grow through till December, January. So you can go ahead and check that. 1-888-455-2967. Go ahead and put it in your phone. Even if you don't want to call, you can just tag it, Better Lawns and Gardens, or tag it Teresa and Lizzie. And that way you'll have it when you have a phone question on Saturdays between 7 and 9. We get a lot of calls later, Lizzie, don't we?
Yes.
That they think the show is on because they can hear it on their stations at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, too, it's on podcast, so you can hear it 24/7.
Oh, yes.
And we have gotten text messages from people around the world, that have been listening to it, and they text in.
And that, and you can text us anytime. And I really, I mean this. I'm here 6 days a week. So I see the text line and then I take a picture and I send it to Teresa. So if you think of something, don't wait. Because if you have any type of brain fog going on, which I can, you know, understand completely at this moment, just do it. Just do it, because a bright, shiny light's going to happen and then you're going to forget.
Yeah. And then sometimes I do try and say it slowly, but sometimes, you know, you just, when you're trying to call in or you want to call in, you're not paying attention, or it's just really hard to,
yes,
to hear. 1-888-455-2967.
Yes.
But it's 1-888, or you can just do the 888-455-2967. And that is your garden. You can just call me and I can help you buy plants. I can help you do with some design ideas. Mm-hmm. Whatever you have a question on, we'd love to hear from you. And so just want to remind everybody today, there is the Ridge Orchid Show, and it is 10 to 4 today and tomorrow, and that's in Lakeland. And orchids are blooming beautifully this week. I bought two this week. They were Vandas, deep dark purple, burgundy purple, and oh my goodness, they're gorgeous. And so the Ridge Orchid Show is on today, 10 to 4 today and tomorrow. You can stop by and find out all your questions about orchids and get everything you need to do to grow orchids. And that's in Lakeland. So we thank you for sending that in for us. All right. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So there's a little creature, and I'll just call it a creature because it is not a shrimp. And it's not an insect, but they are called lawn shrimps. What are they, and what do you need to do for them? If you've got pools, you might have seen them, but they end up in the yard, and they are amphipods. And there's really nothing you need to do with it, but your lawn is wet. And so dry and keep it from over-irrigating it. And like I said, if you've had your irrigation on when we've had all this rain, you're just acerbating it and just making more of an issue. No need to be irrigating when we get the rain fall, so that would be good. It's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
My top five this week are my top five resources for correct gardening information besides me and Better Lawns and Gardens. So my number five, any website that has EDU as the extension. So EDU in internet address, that's a good site for gardening, correct gardening information. Number four, the University of Florida's EDIS site, and that is edis.ifas.ufl.edu. The EDIS is all of their publications. You can search for what you need on it. Great site. Number three, Master Gardeners. Now, this is neighbors, only neighbors who are master gardeners. They're not a master gardener living next door to you. Don't listen to them, okay? This is very important. Number two, FNGLA, Florida Certified Horticultural Professionals. Only your neighbors who are the certified horticultural professionals. And then the number one place to get your gardening information besides Better Lawns and Gardens is your local University of Florida County Extension Office, the Master Gardener Clinic.
And that makes sense because it's your county. It's where you live. And I'm not saying any others are incorrect, but you're calling your county. So
they know what your site conditions are. They know what your zones are. They know what's going on. What is passing through the neighborhood? Because diseases, you know, spread. And then so if they know something's coming through or an insect's coming through, you'll be able to find out about it. So those are my top five resources. I will post those on our website today on our Facebook website. Let's go to, if you have got a gardening question, I'm sorry, 1-888-455-2967. Let's go to John in Melbourne. Good morning, John. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just somewhat an amateur when it comes to gardening, and I live in a small home, and what I have is a perimeter around my backyard and an area planter in my front yard. And every couple of years, I redo it, but I'm getting older, and it's getting more difficult. So right now, I'm looking at a lot of kind of weeds and low scrub that I have to tear out, mulch, and redo. And I heard you talk about designing, so I'm thinking, and this is just loosely thinking, of maybe, you know, some palms, Alexander-type palms, some silver buttonwoods, just a few to start out.
Sure.
And then go to the ground with some, you know, like beach sunflower, something like that. And I just want to get your ideas because I'm getting older, like I said, and I don't have a lot of energy to get out in that heat and tear up weeds and stuff.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask your ideas on design, and I use mulch, but I've been using the low-quality mulch, and I think that's full of weed seed, so maybe you can make some recommendations. I'm gladly listening.
Sure. Well, the important thing about mulch, John, is that you have enough, so that you want to put down at least 3 to 4 inches of mulch. That's going to block the sunlight, which is going to keep the weed seeds from germinating. So as every year it breaks down and decomposes and it turns into dirt, which is good dirt, you still are going to get more sunlight in. So, you know, once a year, check your mulch to make sure you have at least 3 inches and replenish it if you don't. And you don't have to put another 3 inches down. You just have to bring it up to 3 inches. So let's say 1 inch decomposed, then you just add 1 inch. So that you're always having 3 inches. And that's going to help you tremendously. I love your idea of the palm trees. And the beach sunflower is a great ground cover. Think about some ornamental grasses. I love Lamandra Breeze, L-O-M-A-N-D-R-A, Lamandra Breeze. But I also like muley grass, too, as well. And so if you're adding some grasses, I would just make some beds and then put your pathway. You know, start your pathway wherever you want to go, whether it's a destination, a seating area in your backyard, or to the shed, or to the clothesline, whatever you have in the backyard, just a pathway to that, and then put your plants on either side. And you can add bigger plants like plumbagos. Pentas are really nice. And then also thrialis will work. So there are some beautiful plants that you can put in. And the ground covers, I would leave it to just mulch and just use small plants to take over an area. Now, junipers are a really great drought-tolerant seacoast Melbourne type of plant that can handle the seawater. And they don't have a lot of, they don't need a lot of water, but they're also pretty. So you get the blue ones, the blue rugs, the blue Pacifics, and they will get to be 3 to 5 feet wide. And so that would be a nice ground cover, but they're a shrub that only gets to be 6 to 8 inches tall.
Okay. Also, I have a giant oak tree, which obviously sheds a lot, gives a lot of shade, provides a habitat. I have a big staghorn holding under it, so that's going to be my focal point and my baby.
Yes.
And I'm just going to have, like I was talking about, the small ground cover. But can you recommend any kind of growing ground cover? I actually have sweet potatoes growing as a ground cover.
Really? Oh, then you've got a little bit of sunlight going on there. The Asiatic jasmine's always good. It's a really good, sturdy ground cover, but it needs weed whacking. So you're not going to be able to find a ground cover that's going to be no maintenance, because that's going to be a little bit higher maintenance. But you could also do a little bit of ivy that you put in there, or just put shrubs in, little small shrubs, like even a little bit of azaleas or some of the tropical plants that have that will spread out a wee bit. Cast iron is one that will do nicely, and it grows. Then also too, your begonias and your impatiens are going to be a choice, and add color to it as well.
Okay.
But I will tell you, John, if you will email me through betterlawns.com, and you know, if you will email me and send me a picture of your yard, I'll send back some more suggestions for you by email.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it, and I'm inspired.
Oh, wonderful. I think you can do a really nice job. Put your pathway in, and then you'll know where the plants need to go.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, John.
Have a good day.
Okay, you too, hon. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
Good morning. I am fine. Thank you. I wanted to tell you it is 69 degrees.
Isn't that lovely?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, we had rain last night, and we actually had a lot of rain. And I'll tell you what, it is actually 69 degrees here, and it is great.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And I forgot to get my coffee. I've been up since 6:30, and I forgot to get my coffee.
What are you thinking, Eileen?
Girl, go get you some coffee.
I forgot to get it.
There you go. Well, enjoy the cooler temperatures.
What is Lizzie drinking?
She's drinking her 6 shots of espresso. She's wired. She's ready to go.
Yes, I bet she is. Well, she worked all week, so there she goes.
Oh, thank you so much, Eileen. So Lizzie wanted to know more about the lawn shrimp. So let me just talk to you. We got just a few more minutes. Lawn shrimp are 1/4 to 3/4 inch long, with sideways flattened bodies and multiple pair of legs, including 5 main pairs used for walking. So did you think lawn shrimp had 5 pairs of legs? So these amphipods have 2 pairs of antenna and 1 pair of eyes. And the creatures are often pink and reside in soft ground or mulch up to 1/2 inch deep. So they're scavengers, and they're good. They're beneficial. They feed on decomposing leaves and roots and other organic matter, making them a crucial component of nutrient cycling in the soil. So they're most active at night, burrowing through the soil and breaking down detritus, which is the decomposing soil. And female lawn shrimp carry eggs on the underside of their bodies in a pouch. The eggs hatch in 1 to 3 weeks, and the emerging juveniles go on to live about 1 year. So lawn shrimp prefer moist conditions, but just like earthworms, they can't tolerate being, you know, flooded or being fully submerged in water. Okay, so they come up onto the ground when it's too wet in the ground, and they don't like it completely dry. So you will see them on patios and sidewalks and underneath the doors looking for dry conditions. But because it's too dry, they usually die. And once they die, they turn a dark brown or a red color. So lawn shrimp are not considered pests because they're beneficial, but they can be a little bit of a nuisance if they collect in your pool filters or in your desk. So you can vacuum them up and you know, sweep them up and make sure they don't get into your pool area. And then turning your mulch, if you have mulch, kind of rake it up and let it dry out. You will decrease the populations of the shrimp.
They almost look like baby cicadas. They look. They don't look like shrimp. How about that?
I think they do look like shrimp. We're gonna have to post a picture. They do look like shrimp.
I don't know what shrimp you're eating, lady, but you know what?
We'll post pictures of it. So thank you very much. We got text messages coming in from Debbie in Tallahassee. We'll get to you in the next segment. If it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.